Blog Talk Radio.
We reserve the right to not disclose personal and private information, and the views and opinion expressed on the Live, Laugh, and Learn radio show with Mirren are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the official policies and position of our organization. Any content provided by our authors are of their own opinion and not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, organization, or individual.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode with yours truly. I am thrilled and excited for this show. We are coming to you live on Easter Monday, and I just pray that you all had a wonderful resurrection weekend, and you're just taking the time out to just thank God for all that he has done and for what Jesus went to the cross for, and he rose again. So before we get started and I bring in my special guest, let's just say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you to just say thank you. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for your word that is true and a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for our differences, our experiences, but our relationship with each other, Father God. Help us to grow deeper in you and remove anything that's not like you. In the name of Jesus, help us to be your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, so today we are going to talk about trauma and how we can embrace our identity in Christ. So my special guest, she is a recently divorced mom to three boys. Her passion is to heal women from traumatic relationships by embracing their identity. Now, we know that it's a lot when it comes down to embracing our identity, but also being healed from traumatic relationships. So I want us to embrace the me factor in this when it pertains to trauma, because our trauma can set us back. She is also a business owner, and her business is called When God Spins a Yarn. Without further ado, I'm going to bring my special guest, Janice Michelle, on the line.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hello there. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Awesome. So how was your day today?
It was good. I took a lot of time to rest. It was a long weekend, so I rested well today.
Okay, well, that's good, being a mom of three boys. So tell us a little bit about being a mom, but also a business owner.
Well, it's it takes a lot of passion, and it takes a lot of thought and intention to be able to do both. I do still struggle with the balance of being able to be here for my boys and still run a business and still make sure I'm bringing in enough money at the same time to cover bills. But God has blessed me, and he has been providing every step along the way.
Okay, praise God for that. I know you have three boys, so what's the ages of your son?
They are 21, 20, and 15.
Oh, wow, 21, 20, and 15. Okay, so you have a teenager.
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the club, because I've been there before when it comes down to boys, so I understand. I sympathize with you because you have three. So
yes.
When it comes to your business, tell us about how did When God Spins a Yarn, how did it became established?
Well, it started off as a blog to help women whose husbands were incarcerated, because that's the life I had recently lived at the time I started it. As I've gotten to know people and God's been writing more of my story, it's transformed into a focus on helping women heal from traumatic relationships, especially betrayal trauma. The name When God Spins a Yarn came about with a friend of mine helped me, collaborated with me and helped me figure it out. And my dad was a sailor in his prime and loved sailboats. And also, I love to crochet, and I crochet tapestries. And I'm sure you've heard the comparison of a tapestry to life, where on the backside it's all a mess, but on the front you can see the picture that's coming to form.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in a sailor's life, they talk about spinning a yarn, and that means telling a story. And so for me, God is spinning a yarn and weaving the tapestry. He's telling the story of my life. And on the backside that I see, it can look like a big tangled mess. But on the front side that other people see and that you see over the passage of time, you see the actual beautiful picture that he's creating.
Wow, that is a great way to look at things, because when we talk about trauma, all of that comes into play. We're like, this is
yes,
a complete mess. But when you flip it over, you can exactly see what God is trying to do. We may not know at the beginning of it, but when it comes together, we will see a beautiful picture.
Exactly.
So what does trauma, where does trauma come from, and what does it mean to you?
Well, trauma overall comes from a lot of places. It all stems from someone's sin most of the time, whether it's my own sin or someone else's sin. Trauma is what happens when our bodies or our minds experience extremely difficult situations. It can be a painful situation. It can be overwhelming. But we were not created to experience betrayal and experience trauma. We were created to enjoy life with a faithful, loving God at our side. And trauma means that something has gone terribly wrong, and we need God to restore us to the state in which he intended us to live. So trauma is a sign that something is wrong.
Okay, that is awesome. Trauma is a sign that something is wrong. And like you said, we are not designed to experience betrayal. And I believe sometimes that's what happens when it does occur. It does something to us mentally and physically.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Not being aware of our own trauma. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Not being aware of our own trauma can be devastating.
Okay. And why would you say that people allow this trauma to linger, the effect of it, because they are not aware of it?
Yeah. Like you said, it's because they're not aware of it most of the time. They're not aware that this thing that happened way back when is actually affecting me now. And our trauma, like I said, can be very devastating, not only to us, but to those around us, and especially to those closest to us. I'm sure you've heard the phrase also, hurt people will hurt people. And it's true. Not being aware of our trauma means that we won't do anything to deal with it. And it's like walking around on a fractured ankle. You can do it, and you can limp through and be stoic about the pain and be strong, and I can do this. And you can take pain pills to limp through and stop the pain. But that ankle not only is not going to heal, it's going to get more and more damaged. We stumble around, it gets worse. We're very likely to fall and knock someone else over too. The same thing happens to us in our minds when we don't first recognize and then respond to the trauma in a healthy manner. We have to find the right way to heal, take time, the time the doctor prescribes, and accept help along the way. And the sooner we deal with it appropriately, the faster and easier it is to heal. The less damage we do to ourselves and our loved ones. And there can be also some specific effects from unacknowledged and unhealed trauma. There can be mental health problems, there can be an inability to form healthy relationships, and sometimes you can even get physically ill. And depending on how you end up dealing with the pain that is there and the lies you end up believing from the trauma, it can lead to addiction and prison time due to poor choices.
So would you say that, I know that there are some people that don't want to deal with their trauma, okay? And would you say that it is related to trauma can occur from generation to generation?
Absolutely, especially if it's unhealed. We do tend to, as humans, do what we've seen done unless we intentionally look at it and decide what is good and what is bad. And I experienced this in my kids' early lives. I ended up treating them the same way my dad did, even though I knew I didn't want to, but I hadn't dug deep enough to realize exactly what had been happening and which parts of what dad did was good and which parts were bad and how to change that. And so until I recognized those things and was able to go back and work through it and be intentional about, okay, this doesn't work and this is why and this is what needs to be done to heal this, then I wasn't able to heal what I was doing with my kids.
That's good. That's really good because I feel as though we need to really think about that because not only do I just recently did a video where I talked about traditions. Not only do we pass traditions down to our kids, we also pass trauma to them, but we don't because we're not recognizing that they are trauma, our kids then have the trauma. And we're trying to get them the resources and help they need, but we haven't got the resources and help that we need
exactly.
to help them.
Exactly.
And that's,
yeah, in the same way that hurt people will hurt people, in the same way that hurt people will hurt people, healed people can help people heal. But you cannot help people
that's
heal until
powerful.
You have healed.
No, absolutely. And I believe that we all are in this process. We are not perfect. And, you know, there are some things that I have to be healed from. There are some things you have to be healed from. We all are in this process for God to perfect us. And until he comes to get us, we're going to have to keep perfecting and get those traumas out of us that lies because it hinders us from actually going forth to where God wants us to be.
Yep, definitely.
So, Janice, I see that you host a book club. Share with me what book you're reading and what the group learned so far.
Yeah, we have a private group inside Faith Mama's Tribe app, and what we're doing in that specific group is reading through books that I know have been a help to me on my healing journey, and we read one chapter at a time on Friday afternoons. And currently we're reading Intimate Deception by Dr. Sherry Keffer. It's about healing from sexual betrayal. And we're learning a lot about how betrayal trauma affects us. The most recent chapter went into a lot of detail on how it affects the brain. And we're learning how to recognize it, how to heal, and whether we're within the relationship that the trauma happened in or we're out on our own trying to heal on our own. Either way, we have to focus on, like you said, the me factor. We have to focus on how can I heal me to be able to get through those things.
Oh, wow. So what is the name of the book again?
Intimate Deception.
Oh, wow. So can you identify, if you can provide us with like an example, what is an example of intimate deception or betrayal trauma?
Betrayal trauma is a term that is used to describe some sort of infidelity or sexual betrayal, especially within a partnership relationship, whether it's you're living together or you're married. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it right or not. the betrayal itself mm-hmm. still will traumatize you. And so anytime, like, if somebody cheats on you, if somebody is looking at porn, if somebody has a sex addiction, a porn addiction, they're going to strip clubs, any kind of thing like that that is a sexually natured betrayal of the relationship.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great to shed light on and to actually provide us with examples on what that looks like. Because some of us, we can hear the word or we can see certain things, but we don't know exactly. We can't put a name to it. Like, okay, well, what is
right.
this? So it's great to put a name to it so that we can identify the areas where we need to get healing. We need deliverance in that area.
Yeah, and it helps too to know that there is a name for it, which means you're not alone. There are so many other people out there dealing with this, and you are not alone in this.
Wow. So what typically happens? Let's just say someone, you know how we get dressed in the morning? And some women, some of us, we look in the mirror. Some of us just, okay, I woke up like this, okay? So what happens when we don't deal with that? What are the aftermaths? What typically happens when we don't face the trauma in us?
Well, the main thing that ends up happening is trauma tells the traumatized person a lot of lies most of the time, especially in betrayal trauma. It you are told lies over and over again about yourself, either verbally or by the other person's actions. Because they cheated on you or watch porn all the time or whatever, can make you think, I'm not enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not exciting enough. It can tell you that you're not worthy. You don't deserve anybody to love you exclusively. And when you are told that, no matter which way you're told it, when you're told that enough times, you start to believe it. And so if you do not deal with the fact that that was trauma and it is not about whether you are enough or not, then you're going to keep believing those lies, and you will live in that belief. And when you live in that belief, then typically what happens is you end up in the same situations and are re-traumatized over and over again, which simply reinforces that belief. And so you never get to heal, and you never get to become who God wants you to be, because you constantly believe the lies that the trauma told you instead of the truth that God says about you.
Wow, that's very powerful. Of what happens when you don't deal with the trauma that's in your life. And it's just like piling up, I mean, I can say dirty dishes or trash. It's just like, okay, you put the trash in the trash can and you just keep pushing it down, trying to get more stuff in it. But
yes.
Before you know it, it's gonna overflow.
Yes, and
it's
that's where you end up hurting the people around you. Yes.
My God, wow. Yeah, that's really good. You know, if we don't deal with the trauma, and some people are in denial. No, I don't have a trauma. I'm a perfect man, you know.
We get the idea that if we admit that we have been traumatized, we're quote unquote playing the victim, and that's another one of those lies that betrayal trauma will tell you too, because a lot of times there's gaslighting that comes with that. And so they tell you all the time, you're just paranoid. Oh, you're just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just playing the victim. And so then we get this idea that if we admit that we've been traumatized, we're just playing the victim. And, well, I don't want to be a victim. I want to be strong. Well, The problem with that is you were a victim. There's a difference between mm-hmm. being victimized and playing the victim. You were victimized.
Absolutely.
Therefore, technically, you are a victim. And you have mm-hmm. to deal with that and work through the trauma. And because we keep thinking, I don't want to play the victim, then we just stuff it all down and don't let ourselves deal with it. And like you said, it just gets stuffed, more stuffed and more stuffed, and eventually it's going to overflow.
Wow, that's absolutely true.
So based on this trauma and some of us not realizing what it is, or we don't want to face it, or we want to hide it, what are some biblical principles that you can share as it relates to trauma so that it can begin to start that process for people to open up to receive the healing that they need?
Okay. First, you have to be able to know who God is himself, because you have to know that he is somebody you can trust. Because you've already been through enough trauma, so trust is hard for you. So getting to know God for who he is and the fact that he cannot lie and that he is a God of love and a God of justice and he will take vengeance on those who deserve it, and you don't have to take that on you. So knowing who God is in the first place makes it so that you know you can trust him. And then once you know you can trust him, you can trust what he says about you. And the Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that the God who crafted each of us loves us. He sings over us in delight. And that helps me to remember who I am and what the truth about me is. The Bible tells us to confess our sins and to repent. It tells us where to forgive those who hurt us and how to safely reconcile with others. It gives us the whole rundown. This is how you do this. It explains to us that there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. They don't necessarily go hand in hand. And knowing that is important. My trauma is not an excuse to continue in sin and cause more trauma. If I want to live out who God says I am, I have to learn how he wants me to handle even the really hard things. The most important thing he wants me to remember is that he is with me through it all, and I don't have to do any of it alone.
Amen to that. Yes, we don't have to do it alone. And that's one thing that, you know, I just believe it's unfortunately, it's human nature for us to feel like we have to do it alone. And I can just think about, you know, even me, I can just think about different things as it pertains to, you know, as we read the Bible with Morning with Jesus, with Faith Mamas, you know, how the children mm-hmm. of Israel acted, you know, along the way. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't know that even though God delivered them, they still had doubt. They still turned from them, didn't keep the commandments. They did a lot of different things. And I can see kind of the correlation when it comes to human beings, even myself at some times. I'm like, ooh, I didn't realize mm-hmm. that. It's like, why do you have to have... It's like, why do you have to have someone in the natural, physically, that you can see to trust versus what God has already done for you? Did he just bring you out of Egypt? I'm like, ugh. Yeah, that's a bit hard. You know, it's a bit hard to die.
Yeah, well, part of that is built in. Yeah, mm-hmm. part of that is built in because God didn't create us to be alone. When he was mm-hmm. talking in the garden, when he created Adam and was getting ready to create mm-hmm. Eve, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And that word man there means human. It doesn't mean male. So he was saying it is not good for any humans to be alone. He created us for community. And so part of that is built in. The problem is sin comes in and has messed that up. And so we have to understand that, yes, we are created for community with humans, but more importantly, we must put God first because he's the only one that can do it perfectly right and that can love us perfectly well. So we always have to put God first and trust him to give us the right community to be in.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. I believe that your community helps you. Your community will be able to help you identify some of these traumas, will open the door so that you can see it from a different perspective. You know, so that is definitely great. So I have one more question for you, and then I'm going to leave it up to you to let people know where they can follow you. So how does focusing on your identity in Christ help your trauma?
Well, remembering my identity in Christ is actually essential to healing. It's the anchor of truth that I can always return to when my trauma triggers try to lie to me again. If I feel like I'm not enough, I remember God said he created me just the way he wanted me. When my trauma reminds me of mistakes I've made, I remember that Jesus died to set me free. When I feel unwanted, I can remind myself that God chose me as his child, bruises, scrapes, and all. He chose me just the way I am.
My God. He chose us. He met us where we were. He said, if we made our bed in hell, he's going to be there. I'm like, what kind of God is that? But, you know,
he loves us enough not to leave us where he found us.
Come on. Come on. You preaching right there, sister? Nope. Absolutely. He loves us not to leave us where we're at. If you fall down, he's going to pick you up. And that's something that we need to not just say, but we need to receive. We need to get it in our bones so that
Amen.
We can walk free because the enemy, the one thing I know is that the enemy is being very crafty. And as he is very crafty, we know we serve a mighty God that knows the end before the beginning, and we have to be able to be alert and stay in connection with him. And when we stay in connection with him, we can see the trick of the enemy.
Amen.
All right, so where can my followers find you on social media?
I am mostly on Instagram, and that would be God's Spun Yarn with both S's, so GodsSpunYarn. And I have a Facebook page called When God Spins a Yarn. And I'm on TikTok, and on there I'm at Momo3Boys with a Z, M-O-M-O, and the number 3, boys with a Z.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that information. If you had one message that you want to relay to the listeners, what would you say?
I would say remember who God says you are before anything else. Believe what God says before you believe anything else.
Come on now, believe what God has said before you believe anything else. Well, thank you so much, Sis Janice, for joining me today. I believe that the listeners will be able to receive what we are saying, but most of all, they will begin to open the door so that they can be healed. So thank you so much, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
For more information about my mom or booking, please visit MotivationalMary.com. Thank you.